Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning, church. If you're a child of God, say amen. If you're a child of God, lift your hands up and say amen. Amen. We are children of God, and He deserves our glory and our praise and our honor and all our adoration every moment of the day. But guess what? We get to come here once a week to gather together as brothers and sisters, not only to lift up worship to God, but also to be a witness and a testimony to those who have not yet given their praise and their trust to the Lord, so that why? They may do the same thing. That's what we're doing. And guess what? We're all looking forward to the same thing, heaven, right? And this is practice for what's going to happen for eternity. So you need to give it all out right now, because you won't be here much longer. So get it out right now and affect as many people as you can with your praise to the Lord. No matter what you're going through, there's always something to praise God for, always something to be thankful for, even if it's just the breath in your lungs. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand with me right now. This is our last week, and you're probably saying, praise the Lord, we're going to get off of this. This is our last week of the series called Moving Forward, or Forward. We have a motto which comes from a chorus of the song that we sung. This will be our fifth week singing it. And you're probably saying, praise the Lord, we're going on to another song. Well, I know our team is ready to move on to another song, but we're going to use it and we're going to just speak it because we want you to believe it, right? So here's our motto on three. Let's say it together. One, two, three. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over. In you, old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. How many of you believe that? I hope so. This is the fifth week. We're trying to drill it into your head so it becomes habit, right? So that's what we need to make it. So stay standing while I read this scripture that has kind of been the umbrella of our text to cover the whole 5 weeks. But let me just read out of Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me His own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do you believe His word? Give Him a hand for His word today. Amen. That is great. We are in our fifth week of this vision casting series called Move Forward or Forward. Week one is about seize your tomorrow today. Don't wait. God's got plans for you this very day, these very moments. Don't wait. Say, oh, I'll get to that tomorrow. No, He's called you today to walk in the steps that He's laid out for you, the purpose, what He's planted in your heart, the vision and the dream. He says, grab it now. It's time to live it. Or if you buried it for a few years, a few months, pick it back up. It's time to move forward. Week two was consult your Creator. We should do nothing without consulting the one who gave us the dream. Because we want to do it the way He wants us to do it, right? Many of us want to do it the way we want to do it. But He's called us to do it the way He wants us to do it. And so if we're surrendered to Him, fully surrendered, then we will desire, we'll be joyful. We'll say, it's a privilege, Lord, to do it the way You want us to do it. But we can't know that unless we're in relationship, unless we're consulting Him, and He will speak to us in His word. Week three was pursue, risk, invest, and believe as we're pursuing the dreams and the vision that God has planted in our hearts that have to do with His kingdom. There's going to be risk. There's going to be much risk. Count on it. Believe in it. Expect it. Look for it. And then there's going to be investment. Great investment. Time, money, energy, courage, people. Be willing to invest. Don't let something that you give to God not cost you anything. And then believe that it's going to be true. Believe that it's going to be complete, made in you, or when you pass it on to somebody else, continue. Know that God has come to complete in you. because he needs you to be complete in Jesus. And last week we talked about finishing, moving forward to finish all that God has planted in you. That should be in your heart and mind, that I'm here to complete all that God asked me to. Because sometimes when we get done, we just say, okay, Lord, I'm done. Great. So now I can retire. No. It's not retirement. It's repurposement. It's time to move on to what the next thing is God has for you. You're never done until you're done. And this week, because I need this as a big lesson. This message I was studying ministered to me a lot, because I need this more. I need to practice more. I need to be about this more in my life. And it's about celebrating all that God has allowed us to do, celebrating on the journey, celebrate if we get to finish a task, but also keeping our eyes on the ultimate celebration that we're going to have in heaven, and let that fuel what we do here on earth, to celebrate people, celebrate accomplishments, celebrate trials, celebrate troubles. And I know that's hard when Paul says count it joy when you have trials and troubles, because it will build into you what God has planted in you. And we need to celebrate those things. So today's message wraps up the series, but I pray that you will revisit these messages often, because we sometimes forget what God has imparted as we move forward into our journeys. And people online, I hope you're joining us here thinking the same thing. It's like, we should never forget this. Matter of fact, if you missed any of these messages, they're online. They're on Facebook, saved. You go back and listen to them, not because I'm preaching, because the word of the Lord is in it, and he's got something to say to you. Don't pick up and say, celebrate. If this is your first one today, don't say, oh, yeah, I'm about celebration. Yeah, go back and see what the Lord is calling you. We can't celebrate if we haven't moved forward. We all need to be reminded from time to time. Our message and actions today are about celebrating what God has imparted or planted in us, the privilege of being chosen for a vision or a dream, and the moving forward to complete all that God has chosen for us. But also to keep in mind our eternal home is just a little while away, and we should keep that in our vision and celebrate it every day. It should be looked at as we shine the light of Jesus, because we believe in what he did for us. The fact that Jesus made it possible for us to be in heaven with him and God one day. He opened up the pathway. While we're taking communion down here today as a worship team, Pastor Lester was just sharing his heart with us about Christ leading us into communion. And in my mind, I got the picture of one of my favorite visions in Scripture. And it's about when Jesus died on the cross. I think of The Passion. I love that movie. I know it's pretty graphic, but I love that movie. It moves me. And in the one part where Jesus breathed his last on the cross and gave up his spirit, it went to the temple. And then the temple, which he said that he would tear down and rebuild in 3 days, the temple shook by an earthquake. But better than that, the veil between the holy and the holy place was rent. That is one of my favorite words in Scripture, because it talks about open up the pathway back to God. That's one of my favorite pictures. Let's pray right now into this message today. Father God, I love you so much. Jesus, thank you for dying and making a way so that we could follow and do all that God has planned for us to do here. So we could take your cause, Jesus, our Lord, and pick up where you left off and move forward with it, God. In our lives, there's so many people you want to reach. You came for the sick, not the well. And God, we need to be looking for them and keeping them in our view and reaching out to them. So God, this message today, we want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate all that we've been through, all that we're about to go through, and ultimately our home in heaven when we join you there. Bless these people right now with your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this message, like I said, is about celebrate. Celebrate the journey. Celebrate what's ahead, meaning looking forward to our eternal home in heaven. And there are people that just like to celebrate. You know anybody like that? They wake up in the morning, oh, it's a beautiful morning to celebrate the Lord. It's a beautiful morning to go to work. It's raining outside, but what a beautiful day to go driving in the rain. They just look for moments to celebrate. It's pretty bad. you know, when you get some around that and they're always like that. It's like, I just wish they would be sick one day and not come to work or something like that. The little things, they celebrate. The big things, they celebrate. But you know what? Sometimes I get so focused, and this is where it ministered to me. I get so focused on the completion of tasks. Maybe you're like that. The completion of projects, the completion of visions. I forget to celebrate the moments along the way on the journey and the people who are the most important part of it. I forget to celebrate them along the way and toward the completion. I move on to the next thing or the next project. I'm all about like finishing. Lord, I don't like to do a project at home unless I start it and I have time to finish it, and I know where it's going to be. So I don't like to start anything unless I know I can finish it. And then I go on to the next thing. I'm waiting on Charla right now to pick the paint for the cabinet in the master bath so I can at least start and finish. I'm a project man. I manage that in my life, and I love it. But I forget to celebrate. I forget to celebrate. And more importantly than projects or tasks or whatever, I forget to celebrate people. And I need to do more of that. I'm not even close to what I should be doing about celebrating people. Celebrating you. Celebrating my sons and my wife. Celebrating the people that God puts in my path. Thank you, Lord, for putting. They're hard to love, but Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to practice that love. To celebrate people. I move on to the next thing, and I shouldn't. But I am such a temperate person in most cases, and I don't exert a whole lot of energy in the area of celebration. And I need to. Charles and I will celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary on February 2nd, just in a couple days. Yes. And if you don't know what that is, that's Groundhog's Day. And it hasn't been reliving the same day over and over for the past 30 years. I'm more exciting than that. I mean, we are more exciting than that. But we leave today, right after church. We'll stop by home for a three-day trip to get away, just for us enjoying time with each other, away from all the normal responsibility. And sometimes it astounds me that it's 30 years. I sat with her parents this past week. I just went over to visit them and sit and talk. I like to do that every once in a while. And I hadn't seen them in a week and a half, and I wanted to see them before we went out. And we sat there talking about it, and I was just astounded. They said, because they celebrated their 68th wedding anniversary. And I'm just like, will we ever make that? I'm lucky that I've made it this far in it, because sometimes it sounds to me that subconsciously I think we're celebrating her putting up with me for 30 years, and she is celebrating the strength and the patience of putting up with me for 30 years. So my wife is a great person, and I love her deeply and dearly, and I'm so grateful for the 30 years that we have and looking forward to many, many more. But that'll be said in the card later, okay? We have had many valleys, as you have, and mountaintop experiences in our 30 years of marriage, because relationship takes time. Relationship takes energy. Relationship takes sacrifice. We have some regrets and some missed opportunities, many victories, joys, and accomplishments, and I wouldn't have it any other way with any other person. And I'm so excited for all the journey that it will bring us as we move forward in our family and with our friends and with our church. And I hope that you are too in the relationships that you have, especially your relationship with the Lord. That's what really moves you forward. Because if you're investing in that relationship, I promise you all other relationships will fall in the line of will and obedience to the Lord. Because he wants us to move forward. When we move forward with him, everything else in our life moves forward. So today, let's focus on turning our forward into forever. Do you look forward to heaven? I mean, do you actually think about what it'll be like and get excited to know you will be there one day with Jesus and with God and all those you know and love who have gone before you? Do you think about that and get excited about that? The heroes of Scripture thought of heaven constantly, confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth, looking for their homeland, desiring a better place to reside, a heavenly one, and looking forward to the city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. That's what Scripture says, Hebrews 11. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. These are God's plans, God's design. And Jesus went ahead of us to prepare a place for us because we were coming. It's like maybe you getting the house ready for company, or maybe you don't. Maybe you say, it is what it is. So if they don't like it, so what? It's like I went over to speak with Bob this past week. I just saw you, Bob. Sorry, Kathy. I was over to visit Bob this week. He said, come on over, Pastor. The house isn't clean, but come on over. I like that. But a lot of people get into like, oh, I got to move around. I got to fix the bed. I got to empty the trash can. I got to dust. I'm a little like that. I like to make sure the house is clean. Like, I'm all about, like, we're leaving today, and the car was a little dirty, and I'm going out. I want to go out. She said, do you really have to? Can't you do that when we get back? No. I want to travel in a clean car. So I went and cleaned the car inside and out, and so we're traveling today. That's a side note for y'all. I'm a little OCD about that myself. I don't mind admitting that. I need help. That's the first step in getting healing is saying, I need help. Jesus, though, also longed and looked forward to returning to his heavenly home as he approached the end of his earthly life. He told his disciples, if you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. You know, so many times, and I attended a funeral online this past week of a coworker of mine whose father passed away of COVID. So many times, and rightly so, God's given us heart to be sad because those people won't be in our lives. But sometimes we forget to put in the view that if they're believers and followers in Christ, they're in a heavenly home. We should rejoice about those things. We will miss them, but one day, if we live our life according to what God says, we will be with them. It's just momentarily time that we'll be away from them. But we should celebrate that they get to be with the Father now and not in this old nasty world. Jesus said, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. Listen to what the Apostle Peter said about looking forward to being home in heaven. In 2 Peter 3, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, assuming that you are, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You see, our vision of heaven should prompt us to live the godly lives. It's to strain forward, it's to press on, to be who God's called us to be. The promise of heaven, of eternity, of righteousness, and sinless, no pain, no worry. That should prompt us to do what he's called us to do here personally and as we reach out to people. Some people don't like to think of going to heaven yet. For some, the unknown of what heaven will really be like or how death will feel or keep them from really being joyful about it. Like the Israelites crossing the Jordan in the book of Joshua, they said, we have not passed this way before. Because what you don't know, they say, tends to bring fear in us. That's what most people know fear about. It's like they don't understand. What we don't understand, we fear sometimes. Or at least we have like, I don't know about that. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've talked about illustrations from some of my favorite movies like The Lord of the Rings. But there's this one place in The Fellowship of the Rings at the beginning where Sam and Frodo have been given the commission to go to Rivendell where the elves are. And as they're walking through the Shire, Sam stops, and Frodo said, Sam, what's going on? He says, Mr. Frodo, if I take one more step, I'll be the furthest from home that I've ever been. And he stopped and contemplated for a minute. But you see, as followers of Christ, every step forward that we take gets us closer to home, not further away. What a great picture there. And if we really trust in what God has designed for our time on earth and be at peace with the number of the days and anticipate home, it can inspire us and empower us to live the holy and godly and purposeful lives in the time we have been given, and also celebrate the moments we have in this present time. We can also expect an amazing welcome, Scripture says, for our faithfulness in this present life. 2 Peter 1 says, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I so want to know what that sounds like, what that feels like. But I think this might be a picture. I came across an illustration of a little boy in Ohio. Great state, by the way, right, Russ? There we go, Ohio. Come on. Recently, this boy named Grady went back to school after being diagnosed with leukemia. He missed a year with his classmates because of his treatments, but finally was able to return for a few hours a day. On the first day back, the principal met him and opened the door for him. In front of Grady were all the students and teachers lining the hall, holding strands of bright crepe paper. It reminds me of the triumphal entry with the Lord when they lined the streets and waved palm branches. But back to this story. They yelled and cheered as 8-year-old Grady ran between them. And at the end of the hall, a giant sign said, "Welcome back, Grady." The children clapped and they laughed, and teachers wiped tears from their eyes. Arriving home later that day, Grady said, "This was the best day ever, Mom. I had so much fun. I didn't know days could be this good." Friends, followers of Christ, our time on earth is very small compared to the eternity that waits for everyone who has Christ to be their Lord and Savior and have followed in His footsteps while on this earth. So what are you celebrating? Every day is a day to celebrate something. The people in your life, the opportunities to grow in Christ through trials and troubles, the momentary discomforts that don't even compare, as Paul says, to the glories that are in heaven. When will you celebrate? There is always something to be thankful for. Having this as a habit in your life may also fuel your desire to think about and celebrate heaven. Because the Bible also tells us to set your hearts on things above where Christ is, where He's seated at the right hand of God. It tells us to do that. Maybe you've heard the statement, "You can be too heavenly minded to be any worldly good." You ever heard that before? Let me say it one more time. You can be too heavenly minded to be any worldly good. Meaning if all we do is spend time thinking about or talking about or writing about the things of God and of heaven and never moving forward in the work God has prepared in advance for us to do, we will forget that we are called into a world to seek and to save the lost and to make disciples. These are our tasks as we grow in the Lord. This is what builds the kingdom of God. But our gaze, the focus in our windshield, should be on heaven. And that should prompt us to be all the more fruitful, all the more faithful with the time that has been given to us, as short it is. Because it's a breath, it's a whisper. And it's here and then it's gone. David Jeremiah used a quote from C.S. Lewis in his writings. I love this quote, and I'd like to share it with you. "A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set afoot the conversation of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on the earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven." And listen to this, I underlined it. "It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." I'm going to say that again. "It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one." And then he closes this quote with this: "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." We got to think about heaven because of what God has put in us in the present life to do. The people specifically. When there's a divine appointment and you need to pray for them, you need to ask God to help you see which are divine appointments with people in your lives, with people who come into your life, who walk into your sphere of influence. Some of those are divine appointments that we've missed, that we haven't listened to the Holy Spirit, or we haven't taken a moment to build a bridge, put a plank on that bridge, closer to them, closer to heaven. You know, heaven is about, you know, when we can celebrate on heaven, on earth here, we can think about what heaven will be like. Though you don't really know except for the word, we can say, oh, as much as you can read into it. Now, my wife can read an illustration or something in a book, and she can feel it passionately, and she can almost touch it and almost sense it and almost smell it. Some of you are like that. That's the way she is with some of her books. I can't do that as much. But with heaven, when we read about it, when I read more and more about it, I don't know if you're like this, it makes me ask more questions. When I read more of God's word and I understand, well, what about this though? As he opens understanding, I want to know more. But we truly can't know until we're there what the experience is going to be like. But we can know that there are rewards in heaven, and we can celebrate that as a follower of Christ, you'll get to experience those rewards. When Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ will rise, it talks about there's a bema seat. It's what Scripture calls it. It's the judgment seat where all Christians will come before the Lord. Now, it's not, it'll be when Christ comes back, the dead in Christ, Scripture says, will be raised first, and then all of us who are still here will be joined him and will all be changed in an instant, Scripture says. I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know what it feels like. Some people are afraid of that. That's what keeps their mind off of heaven, about Jesus coming back, because they're not sure about that. But coming before Christ will be a judgment seat. Not a judgment of sin, though, because we're covered by the blood of Christ. It's a judgment. It's an account, I believe, of what we've done here on earth for Jesus, for the name of Jesus, for the kingdom, for our journey in this world. And faithfulness on earth is to be rewarded in heaven, Scripture says. Here's what I want you to do right now. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here that aren't going to be on here. So I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to think about these. I don't want you to be distracted, but I want you to visualize these in your head. Just close your eyes. You two at home, close your eyes. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Matthew 10. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Luke 6. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Luke 6. You can open your eyes. Furthermore, let me tell you what it says in Colossians and in the book of Hebrews. Colossians 3 tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And in Hebrews 11, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know as well as I do that we are not to get too tied to earthly rewards and blessings we get on this journey, which are temporal. But it's more to be tied to our heavenly rewards and blessings, which are eternal. You know, Scripture tells us where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your heart is focused on heaven and then prompts us to be the hands and feet of Jesus here, there's reward in heaven for that. But Scripture tells us there are many things to celebrate about heaven and in heaven. It also speaks of the rewards, some of those are which called crowns. I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't like wearing too much on my head now, if that's what a crown means. But Scripture talks about these crowns that will have these rewards. And I just want to share, I don't know if you've ever taken the time to really seek out Scripture and try to figure out what these really are. Because we talk about the crown, but there's, as I study Scripture, it speaks to different meanings, and maybe it's different crowns. I don't know. But let me just share this with you. It's spoken in 1 Corinthians about the victor's crown. This is God's reward for those Christians who live a disciplined and godly life on earth. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says this, "Do you not know," and we shared this last week, "do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Now listen, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's the victor's crown. That's for winning the race. That's for completing the life that God has called you, the victor's crown. There's a crown of rejoicing that it speaks about. This is the joy of seeing those in heaven who were influenced for Christ by our lives, our deeds, and our words. We got to be a part of that. 1 Thessalonians 2, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" A crown of rejoicing, because now we're in the presence of the Lord and we get to see all those too that made it to heaven before us, that were influenced by our obedience. Scripture talks about a crown of righteousness. The key to this reward is developing an intense desire for the Lord's return. 2 Timothy 4:8, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And then there's a crown of life, given to those who endure temptations and trials. James 1 speaks to this, where it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." And then 1 Peter talks about the crown of glory. "And when the chief shepherd appears," that's Jesus Christ, "you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Never. These are eternal things that Christ is talking about. These are eternal things that these disciples, these writers of God's word are talking about. But the most we should celebrate is about home. Have you ever taken a road trip that you love the journey more than when the destination you get there? Like the journey, I have that. When my oldest son was in Bible college at Johnson, which is in Knoxville, Tennessee, there's a couple ways to go. There's 75, 85, to 285, to 75 on up, all interstate, yada, yada. But then there's going through the mountains. There's going up 85, going through Cherokee, North Carolina, going over the Smokies, coming through Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and then taking a back road to the college. I loved that one. I love going through the mountains. I love the travel on the way, seeing the trees and getting off of the, you know, the road signs, all those road signs and the speed. We can take our time to do that. I love that journey more than I love getting there. It spoke to me. There's a carefree feeling of spending the day on the road and enjoying the journey to the destination. But there's also nothing like longing for home and going home. And, of course, getting home. You ever feel that way? You go on vacation for so long, and then you start back home. You hate leaving where you are, but then you start back home. And then the closer you get, the more you long for. It's like, oh, I can't wait to get home. Oh, and the closer you get, doesn't it feel like it feels like longer? It's like, man, this last hour feels like 3 hours because you want to get home. You're ready to get home. It feels so good to come home and be home. And that's what it should feel like. That's what should happen to us as we get closer to going home. It's like, I cannot wait. I've been with folks that I've ministered to that have been old in age and they've had disease or they've had, you know, ailments, they've hurt, and they're still here. And they go, I don't know why the Lord doesn't just take me home. I'm ready. Maybe you've said that about one of your loved ones, or you've seen somebody, Lord, just have mercy and bring them home. Well, we know the Lord has purpose in all things, and not necessarily for that person because they're going home, but it's for the people around them. But that's the thing about getting close to home. Our longing and our desire becomes greater. And you know what? It should. It should be that way. Not that God's finished with us, but man, I can't wait to get this completed because I know what is waiting for me. first and foremost, it's seeing the Lord face to face. So celebrate the blessings, the victories, the people, the accomplishments, the days. Even celebrate the trials and troubles that bring you closer to God while on the journey in this world. But also celebrate what's to come and what awaits on the other side. Heaven, Jesus, reward forever. I just want to close before we go into communion. This hymn, and maybe you've got hymns, and maybe some of you sitting here, you don't know what hymns are. Kids, do you know what a hymn is? We probably don't. A lot of us, there's a lot of folks that don't know what hymns are, but hymns, man, I grew up in the church where I met Jesus. We sang hymns. I loved them. Loved them. They're still part of me. And I love going back. But the Lord brought this one to me. You know it, but listen to these words. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. You know that one. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll be glad to lay them down. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. That's looking forward to heaven, but not letting it keep it from you doing what God's called you to do until he says, now you're done. But you're not done until you're done. As we go into communion, we remember that Jesus finished. He said it from the cross. He finished what the Lord had called him to do. He said, Lord, you know those words. It's one of the seven sayings from the cross, that phrases that Jesus uttered. He said, it is finished. And it was. That part was finished. What Jesus came to do was completed. What our journey is not complete yet. Yes, we've got the victory because of Jesus, but there are many battles to fight, many people to show the way. And that's part of the vision and the dream that's planted in each of us, is to go and make disciples, teaching them all I have commanded you, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know what Jesus said? And guess what? I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to be physically present by your side, but I'm going to be in you. And I'm going to be speaking to you. And I'm going to be showing you. And I'm going to be cheering for you on this journey. And you know what? When it gets hard and you've fallen and you can't take another step, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you till you're strong enough to keep going. That's what Jesus did for us. He showed us the way to do that. And I pray you have that in your mind, that when you see Jesus on the cross and not in the tomb, you know that his journey was complete here. And he's waiting the time when ours is complete to say, welcome home, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with much. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. Let's pray. God, we love you so much and thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your message. So grateful for your word, especially when it opens up into my spirit, Lord. And I pray that for each person listening today, Father, that your word would just open their hearts, that they would see, understand, and they would rejoice in that, Lord, and thank you and then desire more. But it should prompt us to do all you've called us to do, to get up, to go, to see those people, seek those people, reach those people for you, Lord, for your kingdom. We know that you're in charge of the results. May we just be obedient, God. May the word that we hear today ever change us, God. May it demands a response, and may we respond. But it started with you making a way. Thank you for that, Lord, for dying for us, for doing what we couldn't do. So as we, Father, think about that and take communion, may we celebrate you this morning because of your blood and your body that was given for us, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for that act, that sacrifice of love. So may our celebration be about that today as we take this communion, Father. We pray it for your glory and for our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said together, amen.